I think everything's ready to go.
424
in the hymn book. We will sing Send the Light, but not till after we get our ring.
Okay. Send the light to Alaska.
Yeah, John needs it up there in Alaska.
This is the gospel light.
And that's our intent. That's why we live stream. That's why we do what we do. Send the light. And that's why we offer these gospel tracks on the wall. And we'll fill you in about our July project there on the step there. The law, it's the law, I think is what it's called. Gospel tracks. Let's sing page 424. Send the light. Thank you. All right, let's go one more song. Just to warm y'all up for the Bible study, get y'all awake. Coffee. I mean, a rainy morning like this. I'm not pointing fingers, but there might be one or two decided they couldn't get out of bed. Because... I will praise it. Yeah. Is this new to everybody here, by the way? How many of you sang this before?
Johnny, you can. It's written in. So the first note is. Just get a brain, or brains just go crazy.
Yeah.
Can you play an F note on your F sharp? I mean.
Yeah, sharp. Yeah.
That's just... When I saw the grandly sound.
People, for his blood can wash away each stain.
Amen? Ron was looking right at me like she's trying to sing. She's going, yeah, yeah. That was great. Oh, we love babies.
Amen.
All right. Those online can send prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Those here, if you'd like a prayer card and a pen or pencil, you can use either one. Fill out your prayer request with your name and then just give a short edition of your short version of your request. Let me get my thing untangled here. There's a reminder to silence your cell phone ringer. Get there ahead of time. Chapter 12. We are going to pass them out again in July. We've got a good start. This trick track is called It's the Law. And we are going to pass out 1,000, Lord willing, and the church don't rise.
Yep.
And we have 800 or so right here on this step up front. So before you leave out, grab however many packs you can give away this week. And on days like today, it's not the day to put them on windshields. Just stick to the windshield.
Now you
got to stick to them.
You can put them in a little Ziploc if you want to do that. The other problem we've run into for the last year and a half is trying to hand them to people. They don't want to touch anything. Like, ooh. But some people will take them from you.
Chronophobes.
That's a good one. I want to mention this before we get into our current events update and the Bible study, too, that there's a thing that is very helpful, especially if you have a study Bible, they'll give you some information about the books of the Bible and all that, but some of those get a little wacky. This is called Haley's Bible Handbook. And you can find them with King James Version. And you have to be careful to get the old one, the classic edition, because they revised it and they added things that we don't agree with. And we bought a bunch of these several years ago in paperback, actually, and gave them away to anybody here that needed one. This is the only copy I have right now in the library, so you can check it out. And if you like one, you can go on used bookstores a lot of times and find them. But be careful that you don't get the revised edition because it's not the same thing. But it's great. Each chapter of the Bible, it just gives you the historical background and some additional information. And as you read through your Bible, if let's say you're going to read three chapters in the Song of Solomon, you open it up and there's an introduction and then it gives you the basic information on the Song of Solomon. And I just wanted to plug that. Obviously, I don't make any money off of that. It's not an advertisement in that sense, but just a recommended resource, Haley's Bible Handbook, the classic edition with the King James Version. All right, so let's hold our questions and comments to the end of our current events updates. And I want to make an opening remark. I'm being asked a lot of people emailing me and everything about the statements made by Joe Biden and the Biden administration about going door to door. And I want you to understand at this point, there's no reason to panic. A lot of what you're seeing in conservative news media, bloggers, whatever you want to call them, they purposely put headlines. It's called clickbait. It's to get you all excited. And there are pictures of people in Nazi Germany, you know, being drug out their front door and that kind of thing. That's not what has been proposed. Could it happen? Absolutely. The Biden administration is kind of scary. So I understand why people are panicked sometimes when they see this stuff. What they're talking about doing right now is just coming to your door and urging you to get a vaccine. And that's no problem. have your chick tracks ready. And tell them that you do not want to talk about your personal health information. And so you'll just pass on any survey or anything they're doing. But I would like to give you this free literature on how you can know that you're going to heaven. And it's all about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And then you can give them your personal testimony. And if they won't listen or they walk away, that's on them. God will be pleased. In the meantime, you haven't had to panic about someone coming to your door and knocking on your door. And that's all there is to it at this point. If someone's trying to make you believe there's anything more to that, at this point, they have no factual basis behind it. As of 9 o'clock this morning, the last time I checked. So, just wanted to give that opening remark and then do headline reviews in the news. First of all, this was in the news. California is set to pay reparations to eugenics victims. California residents who experienced forced sterilization may see reparations once the state's governor approves the budget. One America reported on that, and they have more on it on their website. What I want to point out is that you are being told to trust your government with health care and this experimental gene therapy shot that they're giving everybody. And as your pastor, I am obligated to warn you that our government has proven they cannot be trusted. I'm not saying you never trust your government. I'm saying that we just do what President Reagan and others have told us to do. You can trust, but verify. So, in other words, you really aren't trusting until you verify. And so, if you research the gene therapy shot that's being given out in the name of vaccinations and you feel good about that, that's between you and the Lord and you and your body. But giving our healthcare system over to the government, which is the left-wing agenda today, will be disastrous. It will be. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you. History is proven. Anywhere the government takes over your health care, it is disastrous. Mm-hmm. And I personally am not going to get the experimental gene therapy shot, but if you choose to, I have several friends and relatives who have, and there's no hard feelings. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do at this point. Now, think of all the liars pretending to be concerned about our previous president not acting presidential. Remember how often we heard that about our previous president?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't acting presidential. There are people who tell you they agreed with almost everything policy-wise, but because he didn't act presidential. Well, this is what we have now. Goofy Joe. That's not my words, it's their words. Biden kneels before Israeli president in the White House and pledges unquestionable commitment to Israel. Now, first of all, he's a liar.
Yeah.
And he does not have unquestionable commitment to Israel. Second of all, I think he's senile. But if not, he's a reprobate. And he's bowing before another world leader. That is not his place. He is representing our nation, and we don't bow to other nations. I was just going to ask you. Does it remind you of anyone? Remember this? This was in Japan. The Japanese dude didn't even do that back. And he's Japanese, and that's their culture. Remember this one in Saudi Arabia? The joke was that Obama was giving his best side to the rest of the world.
Moving everybody.
About it. He sure did.
But that's the fact right there. The liberal left is prepared to bow to the Antichrist.
And they will.
And they're preparing this country, and they're trying to prepare the whole world. They are useful idiots. It used to be they were useful idiots to Lenin and Stalin and the communists. Now, the liberal left is they are useful idiots. And by the way, that's the term Lenin and Stalin used. He called the left in this country useful idiots because they were helping the communist cause. But if the communists ever took over, those would be the first people the communists would kill.
Yeah, right.
And that's what's always happened when socialism takes over.
Amen.
Well, now they're being useful idiots for the mark of the beast and the Antichrist to come. Meanwhile, the left demonizes Christians and Christian organizations, would be the best way to say that. This is from a guy named Mike Cernovich. He wrote this piece on how a convicted terrorist used the Southern Poverty Law Center's website to identify targets. How many of you remember when Floyd Lee Corkins took a gun into the Family Research Council building? And he was going to kill as many people as possible, and an armed guard stopped him from going on a planned terror rampage. And in never-been-seen images, Cernovich retraced Corkin's domestic terror attack, which was inspired by the Southern Poverty Law Center's decision to label the FRC hate group. Google has stripped their search. You can't find this if you search Google. Why? Because Google is the enemy of the people.
Amen.
Google is anti-American, anti-free speech, pro-globalist enemies of the people of the United States of America and the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Cernovich's report, he committed the shooting for political reasons. He identified the FRC as anti-gay organization on the Southern Poverty Law Center website. 2 Timothy 3 says about the end days, verse 1 and 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be," and among other things I wanted to highlight, "despisers of those that are good."
Sorry.
The left wing in this country hate the people who have businesses and employ us, the mass majority of us.
Yeah.
The left hates our Constitution and our founding fathers, who were fallible men, but were good, decent men who helped found the greatest nation on earth. We had slavery at the beginning of this country, but we were the ones who fought a war with 600,000 people dying over the issues, including the tariffs on the South to feed the beast in the North, as well as slavery.
Amen.
And no one wants to credit this country for what we did, what has happened in this country.
Yeah.
I say no one. I try not to sweep with brooms. There are some who do. But let me tell you that you talk to a good conservative who's a minority in this country, and they'll tell you they appreciate what has happened in this country. Guess who else they've targeted? That's the Southern Poverty Law Center hate map.
Wow.
You're on it. You might want to run out the door. They have targeted Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio, the same way they targeted Family Research Council as a hate group.
Yep.
Here's a little close-up. There's where that equal sign is what's used for the sodomite movement, and the cross there means we're anti-LGBTQ. Now, let me specify that we are anti-LGBTQ because it's wicked.
Amen.
It's an abomination. If any LGBTQ person repents, we have open arms, open door policy. If they don't repent and they come through that door, we treat them well and offer them a seat and a coffee or tea or water or whatever.
Amen.
But we won't accommodate the sin.
Amen.
And if that's what they mean by anti-LGBTQ, sign us up.
Yep. Amen.
So that, Rick?
Yeah, I had heard in the past that the whole slavery issue really was a movement that started with like 1% of the evangelical white Christians who got the entire movement going to end slavery in America, and then it went to the UK, and we still have slavery.
Well, it started in the UK with the 1%, and then it came to America the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
And you won't read that in your history books in the schools. Rarely, I should say. I've seen one or two where they actually. that they love to give credit to left-wing heroes, but they don't mention the Christians. And so that's what they say. The victor writes the history books, and the victor in this country over education has been the left-wing teachers' unions, and they get their curriculum from left-wingers who write this stuff in the curriculum. So that's what we're up against. And of course, what do? We're not. We are here to be salt and light and stand against the tide and do what we're supposed to do on an individual basis. And if enough individuals were to do that, things would change.
Amen.
But you can't change the world. All you can do is do what God has called you to do. And if you're doing that, you should be very happy knowing you're pleasing the Lord. If you don't have that attitude, this whole system and everything going, it'll bring you down. It'll give you a bad attitude. It's dark, and it can really make you feel dark. But what you have to do is focus on the fact that God has not called you to save the world. Jesus has already taken care of doing that. What God has called us to do is to be salt and light. And once in a while we see a victory, and we're happy about that. But even if not, just like Noah, we can be happy in knowing that we please the Lord and know He's happy. Him the glory of glory in this, that He knows the Lord.
Amen.
Mark, did you want to say something?
Yeah, maybe this, I'm trying to. In the Constitution, it says for us to, when these type of people take over, is to go in and take them out.
Well, no, that's the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And that is if there is a possibility of doing that. Number one, and right now it's not possible. What we would do is self-destruct. So if people decide they're going to take up arms against our government, we've decided to destroy the country. It's kind of like putting down your favorite pet. You do it because it's in misery, and you're putting out its misery. But I believe that that's a possibility, whether it's before the rapture or after. I believe there's a reason why the United States of America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. You got some of these guys who try to really stretch and find it in the ships of Tarshish and that kind of thing. I don't believe that at all. I believe that after the rapture, even if there's no big civil war type thing going on, when the rapture takes place, this country is toast. I mean, not just because we're so powerful or anything, although there are a lot of evangelicals who do have a lot of power in this country. They create a lot of jobs. Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A aren't the only ones. There are a lot of them. But after the rapture, all those Jews that also have such a great influence on our financial system and everything, they're heading out. They're going home. They're taking their money and their everything with them. So our economy is going to suffer drastically. And then the likelihood of domestic uprising increases. So you got the worst of all worlds when it comes to what's going to happen after the rapture.
Yeah.
That's why the United States of America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy, I believe. And I pray that that doesn't happen before the rapture, Mark, because I'm a realist. I understand what we're dealing with. If there is such an uprising, it'll be much uglier than the Civil War in 1862 to 1865. It'll be 6 million people, or if not 60 million people dying instead of 600,000.
Yeah.
And we're not just loading muskets anymore. It's, AR-15s by the millions versus tanks and who knows what they would use to try to stomp the thing down. Drones and all that.
I just wish there was a way we could sneak into that.
Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Trust the Lord. That's what we do. Yeah, we're looking for a new city.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's open our Bible study with a word of prayer and ask Rick, would you open Bible study prayer?
Sure. Father, thank you for this day today. And thank you that you water the earth for the good and the evil. And we just pray that you will bless our teaching today. Thank you for this fellowship.
Amen.
Thank you for all the great things you give to us. Glory in your name, Jesus.
Amen. All right. We've got a really uplifting message this morning from Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But as you're turning there in your Bible to Luke 12, this is one of the questions that preachers, I've talked to many preachers through the years, and this is one of the questions we're all asked about. And it's one of the, you'll get the silliest answers for. And I'm going to ask you all to do something. I want you to turn off your tape player. Turn it off. I've noticed something about Christians, especially if they've been saved a few years. They've been told things, and then when I teach, not just me, but anybody's teaching, a lot of times they don't even listen to what's being said. They play the tape player.
Yeah.
And that was a face plant. He's all right. Yeah. School of Hard Knocks. I'm a graduate. Yeah. And, you know, Jenny will tell you, the engineer in the family had the most severe blows to the head. So that's a good sign. But anyway, back to this. As far as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, there are things that people are told.
Yeah.
And, well, let's read, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Luke 12, verse 10. Are you there?
Yeah.
Read it with me. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
We'll get t-shirts made and bumper stickers. This isn't, very many people would say this is their life verse. And as a matter of fact, even though this is one of those questions that are asked a lot, there's really not a lot of preachers who touch it. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. We go verse by verse. We don't skip any.
Amen.
And once in a while, we come across one of these where we just stop for a while and make sure we get this thing straight. Now, Jesus had just given the two-edged sword warning that if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before, it says, the angels of God. But you deny him before men, you'll be denied before the angels of God. So we're dealing with some heavy stuff. And the Bible is thick with heavy stuff. Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to approach this and take a noble approach to this. Noble. Is that what I said? Novel. We're going to take a novel approach to this. We're going to see what the Bible says. Now, what I mean by that is there's so many people that teach on things like this, and you just talk and talk and talk. All you have to do is see what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's a real problem with some people, though. You know, when someone says, well, I think, that's fine, but that's not what we're after here. To me, okay, to me, what's your favorite menu item at Bonefish Grill? You know, fine. We'll talk about that, to me. But when it comes to the Bible, it's not to me, it's not I think. What does the Bible say?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, most of the differences Christians have would be settled if they just took what the Bible said, put it in the right dispensation, kept it in context, and just left it there. But, you know, that's just not good enough for a lot of people. So the first part of that verse, he says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Now, that's not really all that shocking, is it?
No.
You speak a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, but he'll forgive you. That's not shocking. Most people figure he's going to forgive you for anything, right? Well, that's why the second part's so shocking. The second half of the verse presents a more shocking scenario. It says, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. So, obviously, it's the first shock is that there's something that God will not forgive. And then the second thing is, wait a minute, it says he won't forgive the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So that's what we're going to have to figure out, because this is called the unforgivable sin. Now, you also hear it called the unpardonable sin. How many of you heard that?
Yeah.
And the Bible speaks of it in terms of forgiveness and not pardon. So we just stick to the book, the unforgivable sin. Now, I'm just going to tell you right off what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not. It is not impossible to commit today. And that's a very prevalent teaching among fundamental Baptists. And what they'll say is that You can only commit this if Jesus is in the flesh and you say it to his face in the flesh.
Oh.
And the fact is, there's no biblical basis for that.
Amen.
And we'll look at that. It is not simply rejecting the gospel.
Amen.
People would say, well, it just means if you don't believe in the gospel. Well, then why didn't he say that? He didn't say that because it's not the same thing. It's not what he said. And so that's where I'm asking you to turn off the tape player and listen to what the Bible says.
Amen.
Your preacher and teacher may have told you that it just means not believing the gospel. Well, it would have said that, but it didn't say that. Why? Because it's not the same thing.
Amen.
Amen. See, she's been listening. It's not making fun of charismania. When you hear somebody, you know, there's a video that's real popular. It's got some rock song, "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor." You ever seen that? And it shows Benny Hinn knocking people over and smacking them. It's funny. And you're not committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit by laughing at that video. I've turned on TBN just for giggles. You know, you just turn on it. It goes from laughing to being sad. Because you're like, this is so crazy. And you're like, oh, I got to send you $1,000 in order to get a healing or whatever. You know, seed faith offering stuff. That's not committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you go on YouTube and on the internet, you'll find people teaching that and more. Also, it's not rejecting modern tongues. And I've been accused of blaspheming the Holy Ghost because people tried to get me to speak in tongues. And I said, I believe God can do anything. If he wanted me to speak to some Chinese dude in Mandarin, he'll do that.
Yeah.
But what goes on in most Pentecostal charismatic churches is itself blasphemous. And so that's not, to reject that nonsense is not to commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to get that out on the floor. And by the way, I'm not alone in teaching this, what you're hearing this morning. I don't want you to think that Greg is so wonderful. He just comes up with things no one else. Not like that at all. But this is one of those things where I would sit and listen to guys teach the stuff, one of the things that I mentioned before, and I'm thinking, that's not what it says.
Amen.
And I wouldn't say anything, make trouble, but everything, it's not what it says. And then, as I became a pastor and teacher, and I'm teaching this, then every once in a while someone would say, yeah, I heard so-and-so teach. She said the same thing you did. Sort of. It wasn't always exactly the same. You know, I speak Greglish, so, you know, not everything I say you're going to hear out there. But I was pleasantly surprised that I wasn't alone. And folks, if you're alone teaching something, you'd be really, really careful. You know, they've been at this for 2,000 years. You know, there's not a lot of new stuff. The Reformation wasn't new, by the way. The Reformation was rediscovering what had been lost because of a thing called the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
See? So, the doctrinal text is not whether it fits neatly into a box. You see, the reason people come up with some of these things is because they want everything to just be so neat and simple. So if you can say the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the same as just rejecting the gospel, that makes it easy, right? How easy is that? Well, but it's not true. It is whether or not it is biblically true. That's the doctrinal text, right? Amen?
Amen.
So Scripture with Scripture, let's look where we're given additional light. Matthew chapter 12. And beginning verse 31, Matthew 12 and verse 31. Let's just read verses 31 and 32. I'll read 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Matthew 12, 31. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So again, it's the same thing we just read in Luke 12. Now read verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now look, it really here he expands a little bit. In verse 31, he says the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And in verse 32, he says, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost. Now, why did he do that? I think he's clarifying something that God, being all-knowing and knowing what men are going to say in 33 A.D. and 2021 A.D. and all points in between. They'll try to make this something it's not. He makes it clear that speaking against the Holy Ghost is blasphemy. Speaking against the Holy Ghost. That's not rejecting the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
You reject the gospel, you haven't spoken against the Holy Ghost. You simply rejected the gospel. So let's check out anybody who's taught you that. It's false. It's not true. It's not what the Bible says. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is to speak against the Holy Ghost. Not to speak against people who claim to be Holy Ghost filled and barking like dogs. Or rolling around on the floor, squirming, vomiting everywhere. All the stuff you see in the charismania. Yes?
So what is speaking against?
We're getting to that. You got to hold your horses there, Nellie.
Question.
I'm teaching. We're getting there.
Amen.
Here's a pill. Take it and you're done, right? Amen? No, you have to learn. You have to listen. So, what I'm first laying out is that it's not just rejecting the gospel. Amen? It's speaking against the Holy Ghost, and it's not making fun of charismania. It's not any of those things we said in the previous bullet point. So this is not just rejecting the gospel. Unforgivable blasphemy is explained, and it's been almost 10 years ago, by the way. This is how fast time flies.
Yeah.
10 years ago, we taught on this in Mark chapter 3. Now, a few of you were here for that. And but it's been 10 years ago. Mark chapter 3. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. Of course, it's very similar in verses 28 and 29. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now he tells you what it is in verse 30. Read that with me. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit.
Amen.
Now why do these preachers change? It says right there what it is.
Amen.
They said that Jesus had an unclean spirit. Now that's what it is. That may not make things simple for you. I'm sorry about that. It may not fit neatly into some box you have. And your denomination out there, whoever's whatever denomination, may be totally wrong, and I'm sorry about that. But we're here to learn what the Bible says. And the Bible says that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is speaking against the Holy Ghost by saying that Jesus hath an unclean spirit. Now that takes little thought, but that's We're going to discuss that further, but that's what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. The Bible defines the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as they said, he hath an unclean spirit.
Yep.
Now, saying those words doesn't make you guilty or I'd be dead. I'm, you know, that it's that they said. So understanding that they said, he hath an unclean spirit. If you claim that Jesus Christ's power, whether it was his miracle power, his power of the resurrection power, whatever power he had, if you claim it's not of the Holy Spirit, and you claim that it is of an unclean spirit, then you're guilty of this blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, anyone in this room ever claimed that Jesus Christ was controlled by an unclean spirit?
No.
So you have nothing to worry about.
Amen.
I don't think anyone in this room is that stupid to start saying that. You're not a fool, amen?
Amen?
Do you realize there are millions and millions of fools in your country, in your state? There are millions of fools in the state of Ohio. So there's plenty of prospects for what we're about to see, right?
Yeah, and just before that, when he was talking about Mark 3, they had accused him of driving out demons by the power of
sin. Right.
And that people today say, oh, your religion, Jesus is deceiving.
Yeah. We're going, and hold that thought, because we're going to cover some of this as we continue. But that's exactly right. That's the setting. That's the context. That's what you're supposed to look for when you're reading your Bible. Now, in Mark 3, look a couple of verses back. I don't know if this is exactly the one you're talking about. Is it? Okay. So we're on the right page. Look at verse 22. Read that with me. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's who in the world today would do that? Well, get out of your cocoon, folks. There are people doing it. There are a lot of people doing it. Now, you're not one of them, thank God. It was not required, by the way, that this be said to Jesus' face while he's on the earth in the flesh. That's another thing being taught, that you can't do this today because it can only be committed if Jesus was in front of your face and you said it to his face while he's in the flesh. In Matthew 12:24, to save time, I'll just quote it. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Look at the context of the verse. They're not looking at him in the face. They're saying that amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus said they committed the unforgivable blasphemy. They weren't looking at him and saying this to him, like some of these teachers will claim. But it's just what they said about Jesus. And the fact of whether or not he's on the earth in the flesh, at no point in any text can you find that that's a requirement. That's how Jenny and I watched this guy, I'm not going to name his name, the way he's got a decent following on YouTube and everything. And I was showing her. And he was adding that. Even though he would read the text that we've read and then say, see, Jesus had to be in the flesh and you had to say it to his face. So you can't commit it today. See how simple it is? I looked at Jenny. I said, yeah, Jenny. Don't you see how simple that is? Just add to God's Word. That's what he was doing. He was adding that to God's Word. It's not there. That's a pretty dangerous sin as well, by the way. Amen? So they said he hath an unclean spirit. They didn't say it to his face, and the fact that he was in the flesh on the earth at the time, they said it had nothing to do with it. They said he hath an unclean spirit. And so you're asking, well, who does this? Plenty of people do. They are deeply committed reprobates. If you can't look at your world today and realize there are some deeply committed reprobates out there. A lot of what you're hearing about when it comes to the sex trade, sex slavery going on, has its roots in and is being funded by and accomplished by some of these very same people. There is an element on the planet today that is given over wholly to Satan. Completely handed over to him. Here's just a short list of some of the people. Now, I want to say this before I get it. You noticed I said deeply committed. There are people who intertwine with some of these groups and people who even actually may belong to organizations who have these committed, deeply committed reprobates in them. It doesn't mean that every person tied to them has committed the unforgivable blasphemy. But one group is called the Freemasons and the Illuminatus. Now, a lot of guys go through the Blue Lodge and the 3 degrees especially, and they just kind of think, sadly, they're like a lot of Christians. There are a lot of Christians who go to churches where they cross themselves or not, and they say the Apostles' Creed and chant the Our Father prayer, or in some places the rosary, you know, whatever. And they don't even, it's like they're mentally not even there. It's just out of rote memory, and they just repeat it, and they go through the, you know, hoops, so to speak. But you and I know there are some people who are involved in those religions who are very serious about that. And that's the same difference you find in the Freemasons. But there are some in Freemasonry and what we call the Illuminati who are very deeply committed to the Luciferian doctrines that you'll find from its founders like Albert Pike and Manly P. Hall and some of those guys who formulated what became and has become Freemasonry. It is those guys, especially when you see guys in the upper degrees. I find it very hard they could go to those upper degrees without being very committed to. But there is a possibility because it is a way to get kind of up the ladder in some circles. So you may not buy it or believe it, but you go up the ladder. That's possible. But yeah, Sean?
So is the line kind of drawn then? And I say kind of.
I mean, that's right, generally. Okay. Now, the thing is, it's not nice and neat. You can't just look at somebody and tell.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, in the 90s, I used to go preach at other churches more, and I literally was shut down by Freemasons. And then after I refused to bow to them, and I persisted in calling on Christians to come out of the lodge. It was in the Pine Creek Association of Free Will Baptists in Southern Ohio, to be specific. And then in the Tri-State Association of Free Will Baptists in Cincinnati. And yes, I'll name names. I don't even remember some of the names of the men. But I was ostracized by those groups because I would not stop teaching the truth about the Freemasons. And they shipped me out of Pine Creek Association down in Southern Ohio out to Tri-State Association. Eventually, they canned me there as well. And I was then blackballed, and they sent letters to all the Free Will Baptist churches telling them not to allow Greg Miller to preach in their churches. And the Freemasons sent out letters to warn about me as well. Now, that scared a lot of people. There were people who thought they were going to kill me or something because they'd never seen somebody attacked like that. And I told them, I said, well, what you're seeing now isn't rare. They attack people like that all the time. The difference is I refuse to bow. And folks, that's what's going to happen if you refuse to bow. And you probably get kicked off of a particular radio station if you refuse to bow. You get kicked out of, you get kicked off of YouTube if you refuse to bow. You get kicked off of Facebook and Twitter if you refuse to bow.
Yeah.
But that's why we're not on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all that. We've been kicked out because we refuse to bow. Yeah, and family will kick you out. Friends will kick you out. You just name it. Another group is obvious, really, kind of, but not so much. I have to say this. Satanists and Luciferians, not all of them actually would be guilty of this because the actual teaching of Satanism is that there's no real God or devil. See? Satanists are basically atheists who are in your face with the fact you believe in Satan. That's Satanism. So what Anton LaVey out in California started the Church of Satan out there in 1969. And he started all this. He had all this, costumes and dark stuff. And they did what they called the Black Mass and all that. It was all to be in your face. But if you talk to him, you watch the interviews, he professed not to even believe in God. And they don't even believe in a real personage called the devil. But they get so into this. And Luciferians are basically the same. And Freemasons, they don't like for me to point this out or anybody to point it out. But they are virtually the same. The bottom line, fundamental doctrines of all these groups are the same. And they see Lucifer, whether he's real or not, they see Lucifer as the hero. See, Elohim was holding Eve and Adam captive, and Lucifer went to them in the form of a serpent and said, "You shall be as gods. You know the good between the knowledge of good and evil." Knowledge. Power. So when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were set free, and Lucifer is the hero. That's what you'll find when you look into the real teachings of these groups.
I think I saw something about the Freemasons recently that they, the thing is, they worship
Yeah.
That is the God that gives them power.
Which is Lucifer.
Right.
Yeah. And the New Agers and Gnostics are the same, by the way. The New Agers, and there's this thing about Lilith. How many of you heard about Lilith? She was supposed to be the first wife of Adam. Where's that?
The Bible.
It's not in it. But Gnostics, the word Gnostic is gnosis in the Greek language means knowledge. And so Gnostics were like, we're smarter than you. And we our level of knowledge is so high, it's mystical and all this. And they then totally pervert the scriptures as a result. Now, these are different groups. And then also atheist extremists. You will find people within these groups. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying everybody under that any of these labels. But within those groups, you find people who will tell you that the Spirit that gave Jesus his power was not the Holy Spirit, but was a spirit that has been revealed or received and exposed through different holy men through the ages. And they'll say that this is, and I'm telling you, they all teach this. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, and Jesus were all of the same spirit. Now, you may have to think this through on your own, but I'm just here to tell you that when you say that, you are saying that Jesus operated with an unclean spirit. You're denying his deity, and you're denying the Holy Ghost. And so, again, like New Agers, there's a lot of people who have been saved out of the New Age who will tell you they once believed that Jesus and Buddha and all that was the same. But you have to be careful with this. We're talking about people who are completely committed to that faith and given over to it. And they have said that Jesus and Buddha and all, there are some people who are just a surface level knowledge and they may repeat something and not really believe it. Look at your text that we just read in these different places. These Pharisees were so convinced that Jesus operated with that foul spirit that they murdered him.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying that these Pharisees have murder in their hearts. Murder so deep and against God that they literally murder God in the flesh. He hath an unclean spirit. It's not simply rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit to save sinners. And it's not just rejecting the gospel, as we said. They said, he hath an unclean spirit. So, the bottom line of our study this morning, I hope that you've followed along and you've seen this. The bottom line is, let the Bible say what it says. That sounds so simple, and yet, why do we have all these crazy teachings out here about these things? Let the Bible say what it says, and there's no reason to argue. There's no reason to split hairs.
Amen.
Let God sort out the questionable matters. I know some people who never grow beyond those questions, like, what about the tribes down in Africa that never have heard of the gospel message? There are some very reasonable explanations about that that you'll find from people. I just happened to have read William Lane Craig's book on, what was the name of it? It's, I'll have to look it up. It's important that you know the title. Can you look it up, the name of that book? Anyway, it's about preparing everybody to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in you. And he spent some time talking about the poor people in the tribes in Africa who never heard the gospel. And there's answers for that. I'll just tell you off the bat, my quick answer, I believe, is that wherever anybody has responded to the general revelation of creation and their conscience, God has sent his gospel to them one way or another.
Amen.
And that can be over the radio for 100-some years, missionaries going there, And sometimes he'll move them to come out, and then they find the missionary. I mean,
is it a reasonable response to answer to questions?
That's a good one. That's not the exact one. It's sort of a G. That's terrible. See, I read these books, and I don't read the title. It's kind of like phone numbers. I remember my own phone number because I'm always giving it out, but for a while there, I had trouble remembering Jenny's phone number because I didn't dial her number. I hit Jenny. And so that's what happened with this book I just read by William Lane Craig.
On Guard.
On Guard. There it is. Start with an O and a G. On Guard. So if you want a really good book that deals with these kind of matters, On Guard.
Defending your faith with reason and precision.
But don't spin your wheels over this stuff. And trust me, I don't have the answer for everything. I always tell you, I'm not a walking encyclopedia. But what I'm trying to do is to provide answers as I'm able, but to encourage you to realize you may not have the answer today. It may take some time for you to get the answer. And there may be some questions, like we discussed in Sunday school, like whether Adam and Eve had a belly button. We may not get an authoritative final answer on some of those questions until we get to heaven. But there are so many questions like this that do have answers. And you can find those answers, and it's a faith-building exercise to do so. But it also should show you that if I do come across a question I can't answer, there is an answer out there. I'll get it one of these days. I've seen enough to know. You know, when I turn on the lights with the light switch, I don't understand it. But I know enough to know it works. And it works better in capitalist countries than it does socialist countries. And so forth. So that's where I want to end. I have the musicians come forward as we end our study there. And I just make remarks as they're coming to summarize, or just to encourage you. What you heard this morning is, number one, we know what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. Number two, you should test everything you're being taught. And one of the first things you ask is, what does the Bible say? And take it at face value in context, comparing Scripture with Scripture. And you come to a conclusion. And it should then give you peace. I hope as you've listened to this morning, you understand that it is very doubtful you have committed this sin. Very doubtful you would commit this sin, especially if you're a born-again Christian. You have to really go away from God and get a serious low before you would ever come to that point. Some might argue God would kill you and take you out before you did it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 17. But also for your loved ones. Most of our loved ones are simply lost. Most of our loved ones aren't into those deep, dark, secret societies. And even the ones who are in some of these organizations, they're just in it for the fraternity and for job security and that kind of thing. But take it seriously enough that you pray for them and talk to them. Try to talk to them about these things. Try to be God's vessel, God's spokesperson. We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you have your hymn book there, turn to page 477. And the most important thing you can do is talk to people about Jesus and what He did to save them. The most important thing you talk to people about isn't the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost and what it is or isn't. The most important thing is who you think the Antichrist is. The most important thing isn't those things. The most important thing is Jesus dying for our sins. Amen. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Let's sing about, if you can, stand, page 477, closing with Acts Calvary.
Yeah.
saved.
Thank God I'm saved.
Amen. All right. You can be seated for prayer as we say goodbye to the onliners. On three, one, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. God bless each and every one.